Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I am Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Romain Guy from the Android Graphics team.
Romain will be playing the part of Tor today. If you notice a Norwegian accent, that would be Romain. And
I'm Sam. I'm a developer on Photos and the author of Glide, an open source image loading library for Android.
Which coincidentally are the two things that I was hoping to talk about today. So it's a pretty good thing we have you on the show.
That's convenient.
So I have been not a user of Glide yet, but I've certainly been hearing about it a lot in the last couple of years. The context that it mainly comes up in is when one of the graphics folks on my team, like Chris Craik, who was on a podcast a couple of years ago, is talking about bitmap loading and, you know, the most optimal way to manage this stuff, which is obviously something that developers need to do a lot. Chris's typical answer is just use Glide. And we should broaden that and say just use a library that already does that stuff for you. There are a lot of tricky things that go on, and there's no need for people to rewrite that stuff on your own. So we thought maybe we would talk to Sam and figure out a little bit more about Glide and how it came to be and how to use it and where it's going.
Sure.
It's the origin story.
Yeah, so the origin story for Glide is actually in my first job application, my first actual programming job was... Applied for this for a job at this startup called Bump, which was about sharing contact info a few years ago. And anyway, it was they as part of this job application, they had everybody do a little like take-home project, which involved loading a grid of images. So that was the first time I'd done that. And then when they actually hired me, one of the first projects I worked on was loading a grid of images inside of Bump itself. So what I ended up with is spending just a huge amount of time the first 6 or 8 months trying to deal with bitmaps and figure out how to decode them properly, downsample them, load them asynchronously, deal with cancellation, deal with resizing them, deal with memory management, fixing leaks, and dealing with registering and unregistering listeners and fragment life cycles, et cetera. So as that sort of built up, it sort of became its own independent thing. And looking around, it seemed like there were not a whole lot of good options out there for libraries that did this for people. So towards the end of our time at Bump, we actually released it as an open source library, and I've been working on that ever since.
So I thought you were saying, like, so to solve the problem for the interview, you just reached out to the open source community and used a library that existed out there as a clever solution.
That would work well now, at least. It didn't work so well then.
Okay. Now I have a very important question. Why is it called Glide? Because every time I hear Glide, I cannot help but think of the 3DFX API.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever used that, but
no. But I heard about it.
That's the only API that should be called Glide is the 3DFX API.
I've never heard of that API, but about 2 days after I released that library with that name, I heard a lot about that API. So, the only reason it's named Glide is just because the part of the goal of the library was not just like getting images to load, but getting this scrolling process when you're scrolling through images to be as smooth as possible. So you wanted like a glide.
Makes sense.
When you've done it wrong or you have a whole bunch of garbage collections, you get the, like, jank jitter.
Yeah, the stutters.
Right. And when you've done it right, hopefully you get a nice deceleration and a nice glide through.
Glide sounds a little less awkward than skid.
Yeah. Or slide.
Yeah. Also, I don't think 3DFX needed the name anymore.
It seemed like they'd been gone for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, they're part of NVIDIA now, so they're still with us in a way.
In spirit, if not in legal cease and desist orders.
Fortunately.
Okay, so you originally wrote it as just like this was just internal code to, well, for the job interview, but then to Bump, and then somehow you extracted it into a library, or was it building as a library all the time?
Yeah, no, it wasn't building as a library all the time. Most of the code was fairly independent, and it was a lot simpler then than it is now. So it was a little bit of work to pull it out, so I spent like about 3 months toward the end of Bump when we kind of knew we were looking for offers from people and didn't have a huge amount going on. I spent some time actually pulling all that code out into a library and coming up with an API that I thought was reasonable.
And actually, you keep talking about the end of Bump, but our listeners might not know what
right.
happened.
So Bump got acquired by Google, which is, of course, why I'm working at Google.
It's a happy ending.
Yes, it's a happy ending.
And the motivation for pushing it to open source was this like, well, this is a lot of really good code and I want to make sure that people, you know, benefit from this, or was it, you know, I'm not doing anything anyway, I might as well do this as a hobby. A lot of companies push code to open source as a way to kill it.
I think that's probably because you wanted to use it at his next job. just in case.
That actually did come up. But it was twofold. One, you know, I needed something to do, but really, I mean, when you looked around at that time, like what all the steps that you have to take to load images on Android without a library, it's a lot. It's hard to get right. It took a really long time to get something that seemed to perform well and function well, and it seemed like people might be able to benefit from it, as well as myself and my next job. You know,
so yeah, maybe this isn't the best crowd to do this, but it would be good to understand how it compares to the other offerings out there. I think you were probably doing this work at the same time as Square was working on something called Picasso, which is out there right now. We also talked to Ficus on a podcast a couple of years ago about Volley, which does a portion of this. This is not the intent of Volley, but it certainly can help with this. I know there are other ones out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, you know, if you look now, you'll see there's Ultimate Image Loader. There's Ion. I think Ion does a little bit more than just images, but it also has a huge amount of code dedicated to images.
I'm pretty sure I see a new one every week. Yeah. Shows up on GitHub.
There are a bunch of them.
It's a hard problem, and right. Sometimes it's easier just to write code than to do a search to find the library that already exists.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of specialized stuff. So you see a lot of people putting up libraries that do like render script and blurring or something like that.
I just saw one yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're doing the blur wrong.
That's a common phrase. If you talk to Roma for any extended period, you will hear the word wrong eventually.
Often I am wrong, but anyway.
Well, I know the feeling.
So I don't know whether the general purpose ones, if you know enough to compare those, I wanted to at least mention them because, you know, there are a lot of options out there. Like the big takeaway, I think, is go use one of the existing libraries. They've thought about a lot of really hard problems here, and you probably don't want to reinvent those, you know, whether it's Glide or something else. But I don't know if there are specific things that Glide focuses on, you think, compared to these other ones.
Yeah. I mean, definitely I would say if there's anything that people get out of this, like if there's only one thing they get out of this, it's that they should use a library. Pretty much any library will be way better off. They'll be way better off than if they try to rewrite this themselves.
Not that Bitmap Factory isn't a beautiful API
A very beautiful API.
It enables the creation of many great libraries.
Yes. It's a stepping stone on the way crossing your river to
a
more beautiful place. Yeah. Okay. All right. So general description of what Glide does for you.
Right. So what Glide does for you, Glide does a bunch of things for you. There's two main things. One, we just deal with request queuing, management, cancellation, all the asynchronous work to load images in the background. And the second is we deal with all the stuff that you have to do to decode bitmaps, downsample them, resize them, decode GIFs, resize GIFs, actually downsample GIFs now, including animated GIFs, and a whole bunch of other decoding-related things. There's a bunch of other small things that Glide does as well. So there's lifecycle management that's integrated. So Glide will attach a viewless fragment to every fragment or activity that you give it to it. And that lets us do things like stop your pending requests when your fragment or activity is destroyed, so you don't have a bunch of tasks that are just go off the code a bitmap and throw it away. It also does a bunch of workarounds for bugs across various versions of the platform. So there were some issues decoding WebPs in the early versions where that was supported, and we work around those. There's some issues in Bitmap Factory where, for example, if you have an input stream that comes from an HTTP request and that HTTP request dies midstream, Bitmap Factory may return a half-decoded bitmap to you. And if you get a half-decoded
bitmap, which is exactly what you wanted.
Right. Well,
isn't that progressive GIFs? Wasn't that a thing?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's partial loads. Yeah.
And to be fair, it's not wrong. It's just unfortunately you can't tell the difference as the developer between the half-decoded bitmap and the fully decoded bitmap.
Frankly, you know, most of the images on the web, that's appropriate anyway.
Fair enough.
Okay. I'm curious about the other bugs, like the weird sort of version things that you've had to work on.
Sure. So I guess the other thing that's worth mentioning is that, you know, one of the big focuses of Glide is performance, right? We call it Glide because we want things to perform well. So as far as I know, Glide is the only one of these libraries that makes any serious attempt to reuse bitmaps. And by reusing bitmaps, we avoid a whole bunch of allocations of memory and therefore the corresponding garbage collections, and that can avoid a ton of jank.
Yay.
Unfortunately.
Chet wrote that API. Yeah. So you can thank him or blame him for it.
Depending you can blame
on
me
your
for
experience.
Some of the early painful constraints that Chris eventually fixed.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's part two. So part one is it's awesome that you can do this. Part two is that the constraints that you have changed a lot over the first three or four versions.
Yep.
And there were some bugs in the constraints that were supposed to work. So for example, pre-ICS, you can reuse a bitmap, or sorry, pre-KitKat, you can reuse a bitmap, but only if the width, height, and configuration exactly match that of the image you're now trying to load.
Yes.
So one pixel off in the width, one pixel off in the height, you can't reuse the bitmap. On KitKat, you can now, you could start reusing bitmaps and reconfiguring them. So you could, in theory, change the width and height and config. As long as there was enough byte space allocated to fit your image, you were good, regardless of the original exact dimensions of the bitmap.
Right. It became essentially a bit bucket at that point. Like, as long as you had enough size to allocate this thing, it didn't matter the format.
Right. And then we ran into some bugs. So, for example, I think in KitKat, you can't actually reuse bitmaps of different configurations. So you can change the width and height, and that works. But you run into some obscure graphics bugs, I think, if you change the configurations.
That would be surprising to me, because one of the things that make, you know, libraries like Glide mandatory for application developers is the fact that the rendering pipeline itself, when you give it a bitmap, like, there's a lot of stuff happening, you know, especially with the GPU. And the way we handle the configuration, we have tons of caches all over the place. So I wouldn't be surprised if we forgot, like, in the first version of that new bitmap reuse API to fix one of those constants somewhere.
Or was it device-specific problems that you were running into, or was it a generic?
We've also had a few device-specific problems, I think. Like, for example, there's a global decode lock that someone in the open source community contributed for some version of a Motorola phone, I think, where if you try to decode two images into existing bitmaps at the same time, or even transform them, there are some weird graphics errors. Huh. There are probably a couple others. There have been a fair number, and I'd have to go looking through the issues to actually find them all.
Okay.
But I think part of this also is there weren't a whole lot of people using or trying to reuse bitmaps at all, so we were sort of the first real consumer.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why was when we introduced the API, you know, it takes some time before the new version of Android is available on all devices, so a lot of people shy away from using the new APIs until they are available everywhere, whereas I'm sure your library tests for the current version of Android on the device and does the right thing.
Yeah, there was also a funny timing thing with the reuse. Like, the thing that really triggered us wanting people to use this was that it came in the same release, was it Honeycomb? MR2 maybe, where
we changed everything.
We did. We changed where we allocated bitmaps, and all of a sudden you were going to GC in cases where you didn't before, because before you could actually say, recycle this bitmap, and then you would automatically get the native memory back, and life was good. But now we're allocating on the heap, and you're going to have to take a full GC in order to get that memory back. So if you're not reusing the bitmap, you're gonna cause a lot more GC interactivity than you would have otherwise. So there was more motivation for people to use it, but they didn't actually know that it existed.
Yeah. It took some experimentation to find it and get it working right. And I think there's some other people. I guess we should also, another library we didn't mention but could have is Fresco, which is Facebook's library.
Right.
And I think they're maybe infamous for using some native hacks to get around that particular bitmap allocation problem.
Okay. So what kind of uptake do you have? Like, is everybody using this thing now? Like, do you track the apps that are actually using Glide somehow?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't. We have some indicators in Google of Google apps that are using Glide, and there are a number that have released publicly. AOSP Camera and Google Camera both use Glide. Photos uses Glide.
Wow.
Shocking,
funny thing,
right?
Yeah.
Work on photos uses the library I wrote. There's a number of others.
Yeah.
Externally, there have been a few. Yelp, I think, had a nice blog post about how they use Glide, and there have probably been a couple of others that I'm not thinking of.
What kind of review did they give it?
They've been happy with it so far. I haven't seen any totally negative ones.
Five-star, you know, Yelp review, feedback from the community on how good the service was of Glide and stuff.
Well, they haven't talked to me, so they can't complain about the service, but...
One star, great library, but I hate the name.
Yeah, perfect.
So do you still work on this thing? Like, that is not your main job, right?
No,
it was for those, you know, 3 months that you were working at Bump.
And technically, even then, it really wasn't my main job. But I definitely still work on it. I'm not working on it as quickly as I have at other periods. During the ramp-up to the new Photos app, which released like a year ago now, I think... splitting out of G+ Photos, we did a bunch of work on it to try to make the API better for how we were actually using it. So there's a ton of improvements that are available. Most of them ended up in what we're calling Glide 4, which is available on GitHub, but we haven't put out any jars for it. All the publicly released jars are 3.8. think.
So people can build it from source.
Yeah, you can build. So you can build 4.0, which is also the version that all the other Google apps use. You can build 4.0 directly, and there's also snapshots available. So if you use Gradle or Maven, you can get the snapshots from Sonatype.
I see that you made a change yesterday, apparently.
Yeah. So we also, the version 4 is in Google's source repository, mm-hmm. so we can actually make changes there, and then we sync them back out, and people can contribute pull requests externally, and we'll sync them in. Mm-hmm. So we sort of have the two different dual masters, I guess, and I have a script that I run that syncs the changes back and forth.
So what are the major changes in version 4?
There's a bunch. The API changed a lot. Well, one of the issues in version 3, well, not a ton, but it changed fairly substantially. One of the issues in version 3 is that we have a whole bunch of builders. So all your requests, you know, the request pattern looks a lot like Picasso. It's glide dot with a context dot, you know, whatever, transform dot load your URL dot into, and then you give it an image view. And so each one of those methods returns a builder. In Glide 3, each of those builders is very type specific. So you have a bitmap request builder and a GIF request builder and a drawable request builder. And when you try to share options between the two, you end up with a whole bunch of tedious code, and then sometimes options that are available in one are not available in the other, so it can be kind of confusing to navigate. So in Glide 4, we split those out entirely. There's one single options object that applies across all the different types, so you can basically create a set of options, and then for every request, whether you're asking for a bitmap or a GIF or whatever, you can apply that same set of options everywhere, which makes consistency a little easier. There's also some nice performance improvements. So we took advantage of Bitmap Factory has this API that allows you to scale bitmaps. So we took advantage of that to do some native scaling of bitmaps, which reduces your allocations. In some case, you can cut out the middle bitmap that you would otherwise have had to create as part of a transformation like center crop or fit center.
So it's actually the scaling and loading skips pixels, right? So they're not even decoding those.
Bitmap Factory allows us to do two things. One is just power of two downsampling, which Glide has done forever automatically. The other is there's actually, it's like in density and in target density. Yeah. And if you manipulate those values, you end up basically applying a scale factor.
I'm partly responsible for that code. And we made a change. I don't remember, maybe it was in KitKat where it used to happen on the Java side. Now it's done in native, so there are allocations going on, but they happen on the native side, so you don't pay a garbage collection for this resampling.
I have to admit confusion around those two parameters plus the in sample size kind of ties my brain in knots when I'm trying to understand the distinction between them, and that is probably a good explanation of why a lot of people don't even do that stuff, right? I think the API is not obvious.
Yes.
So it's nice to abstract it.
Yes, and Glide tries very hard to make sure that you don't have to think that much about it. For example, Glide will take in a width and a height. So if you tell Glide you want to load this image URL into a view, Glide will actually look at the width and height of that view, and then we'll look at the width and height of the image you're trying to load, and we'll automatically calculate the appropriate downsampling and scaling factor. So you basically don't have to think about it. Nice. By default, and you'll get out the appropriately sized bitmap.
The reason why we have this those density-based scaling functions on Bitmap Factory is because actually I don't think anybody makes use of that. But when we introduced density independence on Android, your application, like your screen, has a density, and by definition, your application has the same density. But every canvas and every bitmap can have a different density. So internally, we have to handle all the situations where you could have an MDPI bitmap you're drawing on an XHDPI canvas. That's itself on an XXH DPI screen, and we have to do all those conversions, which is why we have those, slightly more complicated APIs than people expect.
Right.
But they're very flexible.
Yeah.
So one of the things that can cause problems with applications or developers is that it's not all based on the client, right? You don't have an infinite set of images on your device that you want to decode and load and put into image views. Instead, you have resources on the server where you've got this massive image there, and what you want to do is display a thumbnail on the device, right? So one of the problems that developers have to figure out is, well, how do I take that huge thing up there and then get it into the small size on the device? And the most obvious one is to download the massive thing and then scale it. But is there anything that Glide offers or that you would point people to say, well, actually have some bits on the server to appropriately size that?
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point. So just taking a brief step back, Glide actually allows you to pick your networking library. So there are these things called model loaders, and you can basically replace a model loader. so that it uses one library versus another. For example, we use HTTP URL connection by default, but we have libraries that let you use Volley and let you use OKHTTP if you prefer either of those two libraries. So the reason why that's relevant is you can actually use that same API and you can customize it to some backend protocol that you have. So for example, in Photos, we have this backend called Fife, and you can give it options. So you can basically say, I want this image, but I want this image with this width and this height. And so what you can do is in that model loader class, you're given the width and height that the client has requested, so that the application has requested, and you can use that to construct a URL that is an image that is actually reasonable for that width and height. So rather than downloading the full size image every time, you can pass those parameters to your backend. And I think even like Flickr, for example, has an API that's not quite the same, but it does at least let you pick a width and a height.
Flickr has different size buckets and you can request one.
Right.
Doesn't Square have a library for servers? I think there's a library called Thumbbar, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's from Square.
But I believe
it. I've seen libraries like that you can take and put on your server and will do the resizing on request.
Okay.
Yeah, and in particular in Photos, actually, we sort of bucket these requests. So we end up with 3 or 4 different size thumbnails. So whenever you make an arbitrary image request, we don't actually go download exactly that width and height every time. We use one of these buckets to improve caching.
So in your model loaders, do you also get the capabilities of the device? I'm thinking of a situation where you might want to ask the server for a WebP version of the image, because if the device can decode WebP, it's probably going to be smaller than a PNG or...
Yeah, so in your model, you can register your model loaders, and you're given a context when you do that. So you don't necessarily have access to, you can't customize it per fragment or activity, but you can absolutely customize it per device. So if you want to do something like that, that's possible.
So how big is this library?
How big?
How big is Glide? How many methods?
I have no idea.
It's a big topic these days, right?
Yeah, it's actually fairly large. I think if you look, there is a blog post out there where someone did a comparison at least of Picasso and Glide, and I think either Fresco or Ultimate Image Loader, maybe both. I think Glide is larger than Picasso and smaller than Fresco, but I don't remember the numbers.
Just sort of in the team that worries about support library stuff, the topic comes up a lot, so...
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, Glide is pretty large. If you look at just the number of methods that Glide has, it's going to be larger than you'd expect. Probably even worse in version 4 than version 3. Part of the reason that's the case is we allow a lot of customization. So, for example, if you want to replace the way Glide loads GIFs, there's this really nice GIF loading library. What's it called? Rastermill? There's something.
Rastermill, yes.
Yeah. So, and which is in the framework, I believe. And so you can actually, if you wanted to use that instead of Glide's Java GIF decoder, you'd probably get better performance. You can just replace the decoder that Glide uses to decode GIFs with that one, and you get some better performance. And again, you can plug in these other libraries. And in fact, almost all parts of Glide's pipeline are pluggable. So you can put in a new encoder, you can replace the disk cache, you can replace the memory cache, et cetera. So some of the overhead, some of all of those extra methods is that flexibility. Every time you want to be able to plug something in, you need an interface and then an impl and maybe sometimes 3 impls, et cetera.
Yeah, it's interesting because every time I looked at Glide, I ended up not using it, not because it looked fantastic, but it had so many features that I didn't actually need every time I needed a library like that, that, you know, it was probably better for my APK to just roll my own code, but, you know. I know how to do it because, you know, that was my job. So it's easy for me to say, but because Glide has features also for disk caching, right?
Yeah, it does. It does automatic disk caching.
Yeah, and that is hard to get right.
Yeah, it's hard to get right. And I'm sympathetic to the idea that if you really know what you're doing, you can save some space by writing it yourself. That said, I think in the long run, the time you spent doing that, unless you're copying and pasting, would have been way better spent on lots of other things you could be doing in your application other than worrying about how to write a memory cache and deal with async tasks and that kind of thing.
It's probably the distinction, too, between the kinds of apps that you or I would write to demonstrate a particular thing as opposed to a real application. Like, I think if I were writing a real application that was dealing with images, yes, I would use this thing. But normally I'm just I want to demonstrate the following point and I'm going to take absolutely the quickest path to get there.
Actually, it's funny because when we finished Android 1.0, we have a few weeks where we are waiting for the devices to come out. So the entire team was basically writing sample apps. And the first app I wrote was to show people how to create a smooth grid of images loaded from the SD card at the time. And I remember it was pretty painful back then to do it right. There was a lot of canceling the request, trying to prefetch ahead of time, like ahead of the scrolling, and making sure that when you have a finger interaction, like, does that mean you're going to stop the scrolling? Does that mean you're going to keep scrolling? So there was a lot of timers built in to figure out what to do. So yeah, I'm glad you're doing that because it's not easy.
So how do developers using Glide deal with memory management? It's certainly one of the biggest issues that comes up with dealing with bitmaps in general, because that's like the biggest piece of content that you can have flinging around your application, right? So how do they avoid running out of memory or running into GC thrashing issues or whatever? Like, a lot of it's handled automatically through some of the stuff you talked about, but...
Yeah, there's a couple of things that are important. I think basically the two biggest ones are that to really get any advantage out of reusing bitmaps, you need to be asking for consistently sized images. So if you're loading images in a list, they all need to be roughly the same size. And because, you know, the size of the memory to back a bitmap increases by, you know, 4 bytes for every pixel, and, you know, even a relatively small change in width or height can lead to a fairly dramatic increase in the memory required. So you can have lots of bitmap pool misses if your images are constantly changing sizes within a given scrolling area. So that's one thing, is, you know, consistency in image sizes, at least within a single scrolling list, helps a lot. The other thing you can do is really focus on loading appropriately sized images. So in a lot of cases, people will do something like throw in, there's this option called target.sizeOriginal, which means basically don't downsample it, don't downscale it, don't do anything. In which case, you know, if you're talking about a device, you know, particularly a device that's used in, you know, NBU countries, maybe where you don't have super powerful phones, you'll have like an 800 by 800 screen loading images that are like 3K by 4K or something, and that's a complete waste.
We've seen that happen quite a few times.
Yes. Yeah, and that's sort of the default behavior, and especially like if all you do is use Bitmap Factory directly and you don't dive into all these various options, that's what you'll end up with. So Glide will help you with that by looking at the image view size that you use or the view size. But if you sort of work around that by passing in your own options, you may run into trouble. And in particular, and I guess the other thing worth mentioning, if you use things like wrap content on your view, it can be difficult for Glide to figure out what size you actually want. So in some cases, you might benefit by just calling in this method called override, which lets you pass in a specific width and height. And then you can say, well, for this request, always get 800 by 400 images or something. And that helps both with the consistency and with the size problem.
So I wonder if you get a lot of bugs from users of the library who blame the library for out-of-memory exceptions. And I ask that because we used to get that all the time working on the Android framework. You know, out-of-memory exceptions will likely happen when you decode a bitmap because they're big objects. And so the number of bugs that I saw filed saying there's a leak in Bitmap Factory because it, you know, it leaks memory. I'm like, no, it just creates memory you're asking it to create.
Yeah, we definitely get some. If you look through GitHub, I'm sure you'll find, I mean, there's 1,300 issues, I think, on that tracker, and I'm sure some fair portion of them are out of memory related. The one thing that Glide does that helps a bit with that is we downsample by default. So if you do nothing, Glide will more or less do the right thing for you.
Okay.
That said, you're right, it's relatively easy to get yourself into trouble by, you know, using size original when you shouldn't, or just having a whole bunch of really large views.
Yeah, and I imagine that in the end, Glide does what you tell it to do. So if I ask for a million images, I'm going to run into problems.
Yeah, and another case actually worth mentioning specifically is Glide will let you pick your downsample strategy. So by default, we aim for quality. So because it's power of two downsampling, right, you can pick, for a given width and height, you can pick up to twice that width and height or half that width and height. And if you do half that width and height, you'll end up with a lower quality image than you expect. And if you do twice that width and height, you'll end up with the highest quality image, but you'll use some extra memory. So there are definitely some cases where the view size is roughly appropriate, but it happens to be like just over twice or just over half the size of the image you're loading. So you'll end up decoding a 3K by 4K image. And if you do that a couple of times, that can be enough to trigger an out-of-memory exception. So in those particular cases, particularly when you want to load like the largest, highest quality image possible, you may want to consider a different downsample strategy, which is what we call it, which will let you pick between sort of like minimum memory usage and highest quality, and minimum memory usage can be appropriate.
It's always awkward to create this kind of API because, you know, myself, like every time I use a graphics API and one of the options or hints is called quality, of course I'm going to pick the best quality. Right. And then you realize that, no, it might not be what you should be using.
Yes, there's always trade-offs.
Yeah.
So sure. Is there anything that developers need to do to say, I am done with this image, to sort of be proactive about saying you should really reclaim this memory, or is it all automatic through, you know, Java references or soft references or
right.
Some strategy internally?
So there's no strict requirement. Basically, if you go off and you use a bitmap and you never return it to Glide, that's fine. You won't cause a memory leak. You won't cause any significant issues. That said, we do try to automatically return bitmaps as much as possible, because again, then we can reuse them, we can void some allocations. So for example, when you call into, that's the way you start a request in Glide, is you call into and you pass in a view or a target. And when you do that, it will check that view or target and see if there's a pending request or a completed request. And if there is, it will cancel it and return the resources back to the pool. So in that case, like if you're in a list view or recycler view, every time bind view is called, you're going to get a view that was used before. And every time you just call into the same view, it will automatically reuse resources for you.
Okay.
That said, in some cases where you might not be doing that, like you'll just have some images that aren't necessarily in a scrolling list, you can manually call clear on the view or target, and that will return the resources back to the pool as well.
So you have a pool of bitmap. Should applications be tweaking that pool? I imagine that you have APIs to change the size or...
Yeah, I think the size is the most appropriate thing to tweak. The sizes that are set in Glide right now are basically based on the sample apps, which, you know, will more or less work for you. But if, you know, if you're not loading tons of images most of the time, like you're just throwing up some thumbnails, it could definitely make sense to reduce those sizes. If you're going to declare your app a large heap app because you're like a gallery and you're loading tons of high-quality images, you may even consider increasing those sizes. And if you're to the point where you're trying to tune a particular list or something like that, it may make sense to try to play around with balancing the memory cache size and the bitmap pool size.
So I'm thinking back to your list view example. So you've got a bind view call, and you should really reuse that view, but sometimes people don't, because they didn't know that, right? And so they're actually going to create a new view, and then they're going to say into that view. And in the meantime, you didn't get that information that you wanted to be able to reuse that resource. So what happens internally then to get that memory back?
Nothing. So in that case, we assume that you're still using the bitmap, and we just lose it, basically. It will eventually get garbage collected whenever you're done with it. And the reason we sort of went back and forth on this, the reason we do that is it feels better to be permissive rather than trying to do something like, you know, say that's an exceptional case or recapture the bitmap. It's basically, there's no good way to actually track the bitmap on the application level. So we don't really know when you're done with it. You may have taken that bitmap and be holding on to it because you're going to use it as part of a notification you're going to throw up later. And it's not easy for us to tell that case versus you just happen to be done with it entirely. So we could use weak references, but then we actually don't get the bitmap back in a useful state, so we can't call anything on it.
I'm almost wondering if you could have some sort of a developer mode or a debug mode where you would, you know, after with the timeout, if the bitmap hasn't been returned, like you could print warnings and tell the user that maybe they're doing something wrong with the library.
Yeah, that's a totally reasonable idea. It's definitely something we could do. We have not done that.
Because that's what we found out. I mean, even after years of experience working on Android, you know, those are easy mistakes to make.
Yep.
And unless you're well-versed with the profiling tools or the memory management tools, it's pretty difficult to figure out what's going on.
I think ref counting was probably one of the hardest and ongoing issues in the hardware renderer. I mean, that was because of also leaks and stomping on memory, which is a different issue. But just figuring out what went where, when, and who's still holding on to it is a really tricky thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting implementation. So we have the Skia bitmap objects that are the native objects, and they're ref-counted on their own. Then we have the Java objects that hold on to those ref-counted objects, and those are garbage collected. And then those together become a texture in the hardware renderer that has to be reference counted based on those two other objects, and keeping track of all that is insanely difficult, especially since now we render in a deferred mode. So the application could do something like draw a bitmap, modify the bitmap, draw it again, but then the rendering happens actually later. And so we have to keep references to the same bitmap that has changed in between draw calls. And yeah, Chet and I spent a lot of time fixing bugs in that horrible code that hopefully doesn't exist anymore. But this is simpler.
I think it has been rewritten or removed entirely since then. But yeah.
For what it's worth, Glide is also stock reference counting bitmaps. So that's where we keep track of whether or not a bitmap is in use.
So at least someone is counting them somewhere.
Yes.
It's what all graphics engineers do. We just ref count bitmaps. Yeah.
And pass around big buffers.
Yeah. So the other half of what you do, or maybe more than half, is photos.
Yes.
Which has changed dramatically over the last couple of years, right?
So yeah.
What was it, I.O. 15, when they talked about the new Photos app?
Yeah, I think it was, just last year.
And sort of, and there were two parts of it. One really exciting part was, hey, you can upload basically everything that you want, and then we'll do some, you know, image magic on that to be able to sort of auto-tag these things, which I think is pretty awesome. But then on the app side, the apps also got, the app got a lot richer.
Yeah, we spent a bunch of time working on, there's a ton of new features from G Plus Photos. So there's this thing called the Assistant, so it, you know, all that image magic that you get, it has one centralized place to put it. We show you all your photos in a single view with all your local and remote content deduplicated. We let you create albums, we auto-create things for you. There's, there's a ton of stuff in there that's new.
And that's all the back end stuff, which is really cool, but you know, not interesting to me as a graphics person. But then on the front end, on the client that you presumably work on, you've got, you know, these images, they're sort of nicely animating around and you can resize these things. The grid is sort of nicely smoothly resizing as you use
it. There's that really nice animation that one of my coworkers, Paul Sadden, spent a huge amount of time on, getting that pinch to zoom animation between the various levels.
It's all based on the Android UI toolkit, right?
Yes, it's all, those are recycler views. When you're pinching between those views, you're actually pinching between different recycler views.
So I have to thank you and your team, because the I've seen many applications who are trying to achieve a similar kind of UI and they would go for OpenGL and reinvent everything, which of course has a lot of downsides because you have to recreate accessibility and focusing and all that stuff. So the fact that it is possible to do it with the UI toolkit, and I'm glad we have an example, like a very good example of that.
Yeah. I mean, I know that a lot of galleries in the past have sort of jumped straight to GL, and for us, you know, we use a toolkit. We never really had any issues using the toolkit. It's worked very well for us.
So what aspects of photos do you work on?
So I work on a team that sort of deals with the interactions between photos and the framework, and photos and some of the fundamental features like loading images and the grids and that kind of stuff. Our team has expanded fairly dramatically, so we've reorged fairly recently into smaller squads. So I'm on one of those squads, but it's one of the earlier team members. So I've worked on lots of different parts of the app over the last couple of years.
So more sort of, I guess, the image life cycle part of it, which relates to the Glide stuff, right? So
yeah.
The actual like loading and managing of the resources.
Yeah, loading and managing images, syncing images, the grids that display the images, although, I can't take credit for that awesome pinch zoom animation, but we did it.
You could, actually.
I mean, I suppose I should while Paul is here to
object. Hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah. We're safe.
Yeah, excellent. So yes, I definitely did that. I did all of that. Really, I did the whole app. I don't. It wasn't
very
really.
Impressive.
When I say team, I really mean me.
It was actually photos. It was written as part of a job interview for a previous
company,
right?
For Google, right? Yeah, that's what my Google interview was. Please write the new Photos app. You have 45 minutes. Go. Worked well. I've done a bunch of stuff. We did a bunch of performance tuning also for those grids, particularly in the first launch. We had some fun where we discovered we had something like 50,000 objects or something in our heap for Gingerbread devices. Had to cut a few of those out.
So how did you go about that? So this is certainly one of the ongoing issues, is, you know, the overhead of apps or GC issues that they run into, or jank issues in general. So how do you diagnose? How do you fix?
Yeah, so we used Monitor, the sort of standard DDMS toolkit. It will show you the objects that you're allocating. So
Allocation tracker, my favorite tool.
Exactly. So we looked at allocation tracker, and then we looked at heap dumps. So I've spent a huge amount of time looking at heap dumps, usually for memory leaks, but in this case, it was useful also to track down, well, what exactly are we holding on to?
Okay.
We sort of knew we had a problem because on those older devices, like 2.3, ICS, you'd see these like 125 millisecond garbage collections.
Those were painful, yes.
Yes, which are pretty impressive for a GC length, which meant, you know, we had something, a lot of something that was taking some time. So we looked a lot at the allocation tracker and then a lot at heap dumps to sort of figure out, like, what are the objects that we're keeping so many of.
And were there leaks or were there just a lot of objects? Were you just doing a lot of temporary allocations?
Some of both. There were some memory leaks. We've since actually made a lot of progress on that by using some automated leak detection libraries. Mm-hmm. There's Square has
Leak Canary.
Yeah. And I will admit to having written a similar version because I wanted to try the language Rust. So we actually use that in Photos at the moment. But it's basically the same idea. It keeps track of things that should have been garbage collected and aren't. So we fixed a lot of that. But in particular for launch, we just had, so for every one of those photos that's in that photo grid, we have these things called features. And a feature is basically a small amount of data that contains some, you know, subset of information useful for some part of that grid. So like there's a display feature, which contains the URL or URI, and there's like a badge feature that contains the badge that shows up for auto awesome movies or auto enhanced photos. And we ended up with a large number of those. And then we ended up with a large number of photos. So by the time you have 10,000 photos and each of those has a set of 20, 30, 40, 50 features, you end up with a lot of objects in memory.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of developers, I feel, don't realize how much overhead there can be in having all those small objects. And sometimes, you know, this overhead can be hidden. Jake Wharton at 360 and Dev, I think a couple of weeks ago, gave a talk on the hidden memory costs in Java. And he discussed, you know, he focused on things like if you use lambdas and inner classes and some of the standard collections. A good example is a hash map. You know, you can stuff 10,000 things in a hash map, but each value you put in a hash map creates a hash map entry that itself is like 40 or 50 bytes. And then when you do that at the scale of an app with your own objects, yeah, I'm not surprised that you found that out.
Yeah, particularly for that, what is a very performance critical part of that app.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely noticed that having a whole bunch of extra overhead was not helping things.
So do you end up having your data paged as well? Like, so instead of having, you know, thousands of photos at your beck and call, well, if they're not on screen.
Yeah, so actually when we first wrote the new version of the Photos app, it was not paged. So I think the way we did it was the same way that G Plus did it. So we had you loaded 10,000 photos at a time. If you had more than 10,000 photos in your library, there was a load more button at the bottom of the...
I just died a little bit inside.
Yes. So that's the way G Plus Photos works. So we started doing that, and we got to the point where it was taking something like 30 seconds to load 10,000 photos. So if you can imagine every time you open your Photos app or every time you take a picture, you see this spinner that spins, and you're waiting literally for 30 seconds every time. That wasn't working so well.
But still, 30 seconds compared to the lifetime that it took to take those pictures.
Yeah, it's true. You know, a lifetime of memories, 30 seconds of waiting. I don't think our users would be that sympathetic to that argument, but, you know, we could try. So actually fairly late in the cycle, we ended up writing in paging. So what we do now is we load the total number of photos in your library, and we load the set of date headers. We know all the days on which your photos were taken, and that will vary a little bit. If you zoom out, you'll get months instead of days, and zoom in, you'll get days, and zoom all the way out, and you'll actually get years. So we get that set of date headers, and we have the total number of photos, and then basically that lets us lay out the view because we know just from those two pieces of information, we know the number of photos, and we know how they're going to lay out in a given day. So you have six photos in one day. We put two rows of three photos there for our day view. And then what we do is we load the actual metadata that's necessary to display the photos 75 at a time. So as you're scrolling through, we're actually loading ahead, same way we do with images. We're loading ahead and loading these small batches of metadata, and then we have a cache, which is where that 10,000 number comes from. We have 10,000 of these pieces of metadata.
Is it always 75? Because I haven't done that in a while, but I feel like when you zoom out to the years in Google Photos, you see a lot of photos.
Yeah, so it's 75 except for some special cases. So the year view, when you go all the way out, that's actually also paged, but we load each month as a page.
Okay,
so every
sense.
Month you see is one thing, and that's loaded separately. The other thing that we do is when you have an invalidation, we basically have to throw out a whole bunch of metadata because we just know that something changed in the database. And then we load a little bit more so that if you're on the edge of two pages, you don't see half your images go to gray squares and then blink back to images.
So the situation of having to page your data in seems really common, just like bitmap loading, right? Is there anything that you used or that people use in general to conquer that problem? Like, especially with social media and all the stuff out there that's basically an infinite list of stuff, right? How do they make the decision of, you know, how much to page in, when to page in, how to asynchronously load all this stuff?
Yeah, I think our case is a little bit special because part of our view is that there's this date scrubber on the side. So you can basically open photos, grab that date scrubber, and scrub back. And if you're like some of the more prolific photo takers on the photos team, that might be 150,000 or 200,000 photos. So what would work for something like G+, where you have that nice sort of scrolling list and it loads more at the bottom as you keep scrolling, isn't necessarily the same thing that you'd need to be able to jump to any point in that stream at any time. So I don't think there was anything in particular that we used. We sort of have our own custom bit of code that handles keeping track of these pages basically by position with some logic that just goes back and looks up, given a photo, what page does it belong to, what position is it at, that kind of thing.
So now how about the opposite problem? So we just talked about loading a lot of photos, and those are going to be thumbnails, so they're going to be fairly small. But, you know, I have a 50-megapixel camera. Can I look at 50-megapixel image in the Photos application, or do you guys restrict the size of the image server-side for the clients?
Yeah, so well, we show local content and remote content. So you'll see if you have a 50-megapixel image on your Android phone, we've got to do something to render it. So the answer basically is that we do image loading in stages. So on pretty much every screen in that app, you're looking at least two different thumbnails for every image that you see. So in the photo grid, we use what we call tiny thumbs. So these 50 pixel by 50 pixel square cropped thumbs. And then we replace them with aspect thumbs, which are roughly a fifth of the screen size. So you'll see when you scroll really fast, you'll actually see these lower resolution thumbs. And you can't really tell when you're scrolling pretty quickly. When if you scroll really fast and then stop instantly, you'll probably see those aspect thumbs loading in. And then when you tap on one of those images, we show you the aspect thumb during the animation. And we also load what we call a screen nail, which is roughly half the size of the screen. So you'll see the transition from the aspect thumb to the screen nail. Then when you're swiping through the one-ups, you're seeing one individual photo at a time. You're looking at screen nails. When you stop on an individual image, we use this tiling system that actually came out of the old AOSP gallery. I believe John Reck wrote that. It's still alive today. And so that actually lets us render very high-resolution images by loading
yeah.
the
so
tiles.
That's kind of what I wanted to hear, the fact that you were tiling the image. And I was wondering if that was part of Glide or if that was something completely independent.
Yeah, no, that actually is completely independent. It's most of the complication there is around how you actually deal with rendering. Glide is mostly about loading. We've thought about trying to add something like that, but so far it's been more complicated than at least I've been able to manage.
You should talk to us. So we are here with Nicolas Roar. He's working on the constraint layout, but one of his he worked on the photo editor in KitKat, so the one just before Photos. And he wrote a tile view, and I think he was thinking of making it a library. He did all his testing on 300 megapixel images or something ridiculous, and
that worked
pretty well.
It's a very common problem. Yeah. There's a lot of demand for something like that, and it's a question that comes up fairly frequently. So if someone out there is interested in contributing it, I would love to have it.
Yeah, you should talk to him.
Yeah, I'll make a note.
All right. So feature request for Glide earlier, and now a feature request for Graphics API. So we're complete. All we have now are just a bunch of bugs to fix in the meantime.
Yeah.
All right. We covered Glide. We covered photos. Anything else? Early childhood? then I think we're done.
We're good.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.